listening to In the Moment on SDPB. I'm Lori Walsh. As floodwaters slowly begin to recede in eastern South Dakota, our Dakota political junkies are joining us from west of the river. They're bringing some analysis into the state's flood response. Seth Tupper is editor-in-chief of South Dakota Searchlight. We also have journalist Kevin Wooster with us, and they are both seated in SDPB's Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio in Rapid City. Kevin Wooster, welcome. Thanks so much for being here.
Hey, Lori. It's good to be back. Always.
Always. Seth Tupper, thanks for being here as well.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Always nice to have you here. All right, let's talk about McCook Lake. And for people across the state who aren't quite sure how the rivers intersect here and what happened in the southeast corner of the state, Seth, set us up with the devastation, really, which is unprecedented for many of these homeowners.
Well, yeah, to make a really long story short, as everybody knows by now, you know, in southeastern South Dakota last week, up to 15 or more inches of rain fell in some areas. All of that rain collected in a few, you know, in some rivers and creeks that, run down to the Missouri River in the southeast corner of the state, including the Big Sioux. And Sunday night, the Big Sioux hit a record crest as it was coming down toward McCook Lake, Dakota Dunes, and North Sioux City, which are all kind of clustered together down there in the southeast corner of the state. And, you know, the local authorities and state and federal authorities enacted a longstanding plan they've had to basically plug an interstate exit there and put in a temporary levee across Interstate 29 that to complete a system of permanent levees that diverts water away from North Sioux City and Dakota Dunes toward McCook Lake. And but they had never done that with as much water coming down the Big Sioux as was this time. And McCook Lake was just absolutely devastated. Houses along the northern shore of McCook Lake were completely wiped out. We've heard reports of anywhere from a dozen to a couple dozen homes, you know, basically ruined, gone, other homes flooded. People were running out of that area for their lives on Sunday night, and there were rescues happening. So really, really chaotic scene there Sunday night.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about the governor's role and the emergency response. What some McCook Lake residents are having to say. Tell us a little bit about your reporting in South Dakota Searchlight.
Well, my perspective on this really informed by watching the governor's press conference on Sunday. On Sunday, she was in North Sioux City, and she held a press conference that she streamed live on Facebook, and it was on local TV in Sioux City, and it lasted about 45 minutes, and she and some folks from the Army Corps of Engineers and from the State Department of Transportation and local emergency manager and others spoke at length about what they were doing to prepare for the flood and what people should be doing. They mentioned that Dakota Dunes had issued a voluntary evacuation order. They talked at length about that and about building the levee that I just spoke about. But, you know, in hindsight, nobody said really anything urgent about McCook Lake or said anything to the effect that, you know, if you're in McCook Lake, you might want to think about getting out or diverting water your way. There was no explicit warning whatsoever given to the people of McCook Lake. In fact, as I reported today in our story, you know, Governor Noem made some comments that, well, you know, somebody asked at the press conference, what should people at McCook Lake be doing? And she said, you know, they should be protecting their property and maybe they'll see some water, maybe they won't, but they might. And that was about it. And then, of course, you know, what they saw was an absolutely catastrophic situation just hours later.
So what happened? In the sense that did she have bad information? I mean, you have that word should in there. You should be protecting your personal property, which is a lot different from saying evacuate now. This is dangerous. I need you to get out. How quickly did the information that the governor had at her fingertips change? What do you know?
Well, it did change fast. And what happened, obviously, you know, was a disaster. And, of course, you know, we'll say that up front, hindsight's 20/20. But, you know, the information was changing so rapidly. When she gave her press conference, she quoted a projection about when the Big Sioux River would crest and when. And after the press conference ended, I just went to the website where you can find river crest information from the National Weather Service to verify what she had said. Yeah. And the forecast was completely different, you know, within 20 minutes after she had gotten done speaking. So, yes, the, you know, conditions changed very rapidly. It was the Big Sioux River ended up cresting 7 feet over where it had ever crested before. So, you know, I guess authorities have that on their side to say, you know, look, nobody could have predicted this. But on the other hand, they already knew when they were speaking Sunday, according to their, you know, rapidly outdated projections, that the Big Sioux River was going to hit a record crest. And they knew that they were diverting that water toward McCook Lake. And they didn't really give a stern warning to the people of McCook Lake about those two facts that they knew
at that time. Kevin Wooster, tell us a little bit about, a governor having a press conference, emergency management. There are lots of layers to this. It's easy to armchair quarterback this thing. But there are certain things that we know about how these emergencies need to be communicated to people. Are you seeing anything here that is particularly worth surfacing for people today?
Well, for one thing, I think we might as well get used to this and prepare for this, because this is, I would think, these kind of natural disasters are going to settle the question in some people's mind on whether climate change is real and having an impact on it, our lifestyle here. Secondly, I had to think, I know Governor Noem, she takes information from the experts, and she does the best she can with that. But I think Seth has laid out why maybe it could have been handled a little better. The warnings could have been a little better. And I also think about the guy that we remember as Mr. Disaster Response in Bill Janklow, who was often accused of being over the top, of doing too much, of predicting horrible things that didn't happen, and always being too involved in things. And I think Governor Noem leaves herself open to some criticism because of her schedule. Some of it was just the way it worked out, unfortunately for her, that she was in D.C. for Meet the Press, and then back the Southeast South Dakota on Sunday, and then back, as I understand it, to Memphis on Sunday night for a political event there. And you have to just kind of believe, knowing the way Bill Janklow operated, that whatever obligations he would have had, he would have canceled elsewhere. And you couldn't have got him away from that disaster scene. He'd probably still be down there now. He certainly would have been there all weekend. And it's easy to say she should have done it the way Janklow did it. And, she did what she could do. But I think she left herself open to a lot of second guessing on her schedule. Mm.
So we're a little short on time today, so I want to circle back to something that Kevin said there. But I want to refer listeners to South Dakota Searchlight's reporting, because Seth really does go through in the most recent piece, you know, what time the emergency responders were going door to door, when the notifications went out on Facebook and cell phones. So I don't want to leave people with the impression that, you know, nobody was warned at any point, and the timeline is really in that piece. But in the interest of our time today on live radio, Seth, what Kevin was saying about getting used to it getting used to the fact that this is not going to be the last flooding that we have that is unprecedented. There are homeowners here who are saying this mitigation plan needs to be reevaluated. So my question to you is, Seth, what happens next when we think about, because the mitigation plan was in place, it's designed to protect critical infrastructure downstream, but the McCook Lake residents say, this is pretty devastating to us. We need to talk about this plan in the future. What do you want to highlight there?
Well, and that's an opportunity maybe for Governor Noem to step in, and I hope she does, and maybe lead and encourage and facilitate a reevaluation of how floodwaters are handled down there and what the plan is. As far as I was told, this plan dates to the 1970s, and when you think about all the development, for example, in Sioux Falls that has happened since then, and land that has been converted to asphalt, and all the cropland, all the grassland that's been converted to cropland in Southeast South Dakota, and climate change, and all the different variables to take into account now that didn't exist back in the 1970s, it does seem like that plan is long overdue for a look. And, you know, obviously if people are going to continue to live around McCook Lake, they're going to be in harm's way if this plan stays the way it is now. So there is an opportunity for somebody to step in and lead there and take a good hard look at that.
Yeah. The DNR says that water would have ended up in McCook Lake regardless. It was a pretty extreme event. So to that point, we all need to be thinking about the future and what's going to happen as well. Any final thoughts, Kevin, that you want to leave us with today?
Well, my first thought was, assess that if people are going to live around McCook Lake. Is that the kind of thing we're going to be considering? Is this kind of a harbinger of what we could be looking at in the future? Should we have people living around McCook Lake? Is that a wise thing long term? Are things going to change enough that they'll get hit again with something like this in 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 years?
So many questions worth exploring here, and it's all part of how state government interacts with the people in the state and that communication. And I refer you to South Dakota Searchlight. Seth Tupper is editor-in-chief. Seth, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thanks for having me.
And Kevin Wooster, Perspective, always welcome as well. Thank you.
Good to be here.